T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brian Baldinger. Baldy, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man. It's a good time of the year. Championship Sunday coming up. I'm just getting ready for it.
It certainly is, and we're going to get to that. But we want before we get to that,
I said Baldy before he came on. I said Baldy is like the official president of the Baker Mayfield fan club, because your breakdowns are so beloved by Browns fans. After every Sunday, you do the All 22 breakdowns, and you've loved him not just since he's been here as a quarterback for the Browns, but you loved him in Oklahoma because you called a lot of his games during the Big 12 games.
Well, I was around him, you know, and I did do some games. I didn't do a lot, but I did I do Big 12 games. Oklahoma's an elite program, so it usually goes to the top crews. But I did some games. I was around him. I just admired the guy. Just his story. I mean, you know, a two-time walk-on, got a walk-on at Texas Tech, earned the graces of, you know, Cliff Kingsbury as a walk-on freshman, wins the job, goes 6-0 as a starter, walks on at Oklahoma, doesn't get a any kind of a contract. Earns, you know, Lincoln Riley and all their attention there in Norman, and then, you know, ends up winning the Heisman. I mean, you know, he's a self-made guy, and you know, he loves the game. He's committed to the game, and he does things that not many guys in the game right now can do.
Baldy, if you if the league was redrafting the entire league right now, and you're drafting, you know, the best young quarterbacks, does he? I had him as number two behind Mahomes. Is that going too far after just the 12.5 or 13.5 games?
No, it's not going too far. I mean, you have some people in Philadelphia that would argue that Carson Wentz, even with the injuries,
only because of the injuries, I dropped Wentz. That's the only reason I dropped Wentz.
I mean, there's some people that just might argue that point.
Sure.
But I mean, if you wanted to start a franchise right now based on the 13 games that Baker was in there on, you'd say, you'd put him behind Mahomes. Now, it might be a little bit further behind Mahomes after what he's doing right now, but you probably could make a real case for Baker being number two if you wanted to begin a franchise right now.
What is it about Baker Mayfield, Baldy, that makes him so special, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, I think he's got sniper eyes. I mean, I think he sees the whole field, and he has uncommon accuracy on a deep ball. I mean, usually that's the last thing to come for a quarterback is the touch and the accuracy needed. But he had it throughout as soon as he walked on the campus in Lubbock at Texas Tech. You go back and watch his first game against SMU, a first or second game, and he's putting the ball 45 yards on the field, down the field on a tee. And he did it at Oklahoma continuously, all the way up into the semifinals last year. And then he did it throughout, even a little bit in the preseason and throughout the season. I mean, it's the accuracy on the deep ball and then his ability to basically extend plays without being the fastest guy or anything else like that. But he was sacked. You all know the numbers here. Since Freddie took over him, he was sacked just a little more than a handful of times. He's able to avoid the rush and keep his eyes down the field and then make great throws on the run.
We're talking with former NFL player Brian Baldinger. Baldy, you mentioned Freddie there. Obviously, who would have guessed he'd be the Browns head coach 6 months ago? He did a great job as OC. Now he gets the job as coach. What do you think of his hiring and the coordinators they put around him?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to give John Dorsey credit. I mean, it's not easy just to fire coaches, not just the head coach, but I've never seen where two coaches get called in the principal's office and both get pink slips in the same day. I mean, usually it's one or the other, but it's not both. But, John Dorsey saw something. I mean, I think a lot of people saw it. But, I mean, he had the gumption to say, okay, we'll make Greg Williams the interim head coach. But, I think immediately, as soon as, Freddie changed the offense and kind of fixed it and put Baker in much better situations, you had to admire what he did. So you don't know what any of these guys are going to do till they get a chance to do it. And so I think Freddie won the respect of John Dorsey and a lot of people inside that building in Berea. But I you look at Todd Monken, I mean, Todd's been around a long time. He's coached every position there is except offensive line. He's been a coordinator. He's been a running back coach, been a wide receiver coach, coached DBs at Eastern Michigan. He's been in the NFL. He's, you know, so I like that. I like his experience. I like the air raid background that, you know, Baker comes out of. I think that's smooth and that's sharp. I like Steve Wilks. What happened in Arizona, nobody could have fixed in 1 year. Nobody.
That's right.
With a rookie quarterback, nobody was going to win any more games than Steve won in Arizona. I don't care if your name was Parcells or name a coach. They weren't going to do anything more than what Steve Wilks was able to do with what he had. Stump Mitchell is one of my all-time favorites. I mean, he could coach running backs anywhere for as long as he wants. He'll win the respect to that room, and he'll contribute in other ways in offense. Mike Prefer's been around this league, a special teams coach for a long time. His dad was a great special teams coach. I think it's in his blood. I like what he's done so far.
You know, when you look at Monken, how's that dynamic work, right? He doesn't get to run his offense. He'll run Freddie's offense. So they have a compilation of what they've done throughout their careers. Like, how does that work when he's not going to be calling the plays?
Well, I think it's a collaboration. The idea that, you know, Freddie Kitchens is going to sit with a halo around him on Sundays and speak into a microphone to Baker Mayfield, and, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. I mean, I've listened to a lot of wires of some great coaches here at NFL Films, and it has to be a collaboration from beginning to end. And you're constantly talking to your offensive line coach, to your captains, to the quarterback, to the wide receiver coach about, you know, what the defensive backs are doing, where they're lining up. I mean, you've got to listen to everybody. So I think Todd's eyes, experience, where he's been, putting a game plan together, I think ideas coming in, talking to Baker about things he did at Oklahoma, things that, you know, I mean, Todd was at Oklahoma State. I mean, you know, he's right down the road from Oklahoma. They're all running some version of the same offense. I mean, I think it'll be a good other person to really consult with all week long and all game long about what's the best thing to do.
Right. Good point. Brian Baldinger with us, longtime NFL player. Baldy, we were having a discussion about expectations for the Browns, and and I said that for next year, fair or not, if they don't win 9-10 games, I'm going to be disappointed. Is that fair, crazy? What do you think?
No, I mean, that's a good arc. That's where they should be. They could have gotten there this year if they'd made some moves earlier and if they let Baker compete for the job in preseason like he should have been able to compete.
Absolutely.
It's just ridiculous drafting him number one and saying you're our backup. It just made no sense at all. But, yes, I think 9 or 10 wins or more is certainly capable. The best thing that I saw, I mean, Baker was Baker and he was awesome and it was fun to watch and Cleveland got a glimpse. But, you know, they stopped making stupid mistakes, things that would just show up all the time in the two previous seasons. I'm not here to bash you or anybody else, but they made dumb mistakes week in, week out. And they stopped making those mistakes. And in this league, more games are lost than won. And so when you stop making mistakes and beating yourself, you actually become really competitive in this business when you have the players that they have. And, with the offseason capital and with the draft capital that they have, they're going to improve the team another step. And so, to your question, yes, 9 or 10 games should be the low point in what they should expect in Cleveland this year.
Nice.
Hey, Baldy, help solve an argument for us we had yesterday a little bit, just kind of having some fun because we're in Cleveland, and obviously LeBron James went to 8 straight finals and Tom Brady going to 8 straight AFC championship games. Which one's more impressive?
That's a good question. That's a good debate. I would say Tom Brady going to 8 straight championships because the injury rate is much higher in football. We see quarterbacks go down all the time. Brady has basically started every single game over that stretch. He's had a revolving coaching staff and a revolving roster for all 8 years. I would say, and LeBron did to a degree, but he kind of was able to pick and choose a lot of his players that he wanted to play with. Brady doesn't get that choice. So he basically, if Josh Gordon comes in, he throws to Josh Gordon. You know, I mean, it's whoever is, if LeGarrette Blount is there, then he hands off to LeGarrette Blount. If they draft Sony Michel, he hands off. He doesn't have a whole lot of say if Wes Welker gets traded or released or whatever else. So I think Brady's track record here is more impressive just because it's just more difficult to do in the NFL.
Brian Baldinger with us. Baldy's breakdowns. We love watching those. Let's get to the playoffs here. A great championship weekend, as you said, one versus two. Older quarterback versus younger quarterback. Let's start with the AFC. We talked about Pat Mahomes before. What this guy, have you ever seen anything like this? I mean, have you ever seen a player at this early stage play this well before?
I've never seen a player like this. I mean, you could compare him to Brett Favre, and you could compare him to Aaron Rodgers, and that's all fair. I mean, those guys have accomplished way more, so I'm not trying to put them on that level at all right now. But those guys couldn't play like Baker, like Patrick Mahomes here at this stage. I mean, they just couldn't do it. And so he's played 17 games or 18 games right now in his career.
Yeah.
And I mean, just watching the second half of this Week 6 game against the Patriots right now, and he was 9 of 13 for 188 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, he threw 4 touchdowns in 13 attempts, and 2 of them were just simply street ball, just things that he saw that the Patriots defended, and then he just threw the ball down the field and created some magic. I mean, you can't defend him, and the Patriots did a great job of trying to defend him. They scored 40 against the Patriots, and they left 20 on the field. So, I mean, the Patriots know they have their hands full, and they know that the game, the play is never over no matter what they do. And so they did a lot of great things defensively. I mean, you could say 43-40, where's the defense? There was some great defense being played by the Patriots. They did some – they took his number one, number two receiver away a bunch of times. They just couldn't take it away for 6 seconds or 7 seconds the way that Mahomes extended the plays.
So do you think this is going to be a high-scoring game?
Well, you know, I can think the weather can be a factor here. I mean, if it's frigid temperatures, yeah. I mean, I think both guys can throw the ball. I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes can throw the football if Arrowhead is attacked by locusts. I think he can throw the football. I don't think it really matters. And I know Brady. I've seen him in 40 below zero weather when Boston Harbor froze, and he threw the ball just fine. So they're going to be able to throw the ball. Now, can you catch it? Can you hang on to it? Those are things that usually affect, you know, offenses in, you know, sub-zero weather.
Talking with Brian Baldinger. How about in the NFC? Again, you got Breeze against Goff, the two best teams in the NFC, two high-powered offenses, and you don't have to worry about weather in this game. We got perfect weather conditions. What do you like in this one, Bold?
I like the Saints, but I do, you know, I am intrigued, you know, because in that first game back in week 11, the Saints won it 45-35, but it was a nail-biter with 4 minutes to go. And in that game, you know, Aaron Donald didn't touch Drew Brees the whole day. And I remember talking to the offensive line coach, Dan Rauscher, the following week. I was like, how'd you do it? And because he was tearing up the league at that point. And he said, well, we burnt a lot of midnight oil. You know, Drew Brees, myself, you know, Sean Payton. So Wade Phillips, you know, I mean, he's been around the block too now. So his job is to get Aaron Donald freed up one-on-one because nobody can block him one-on-one. I don't care what the name of the back of the jersey is. So Wade Phillips now has got to match formations, personnel, play design. He's got to match that with his own wits to get Aaron Donald matched up. And that's like a chess match within a chess match. But, you know, to answer your question, I mean, I like the Saints in this football game for a lot of different reasons. But that's one of them. I think they are smart enough to be able to contain Aaron Donald and not let him just create mischief, you know, like he does.
Well, is C.J. Anderson playing more because he's playing well, or is he playing more because Gurley's not quite 100%?
Well, I think he's playing more because he's playing really well. I mean, yeah. He was the star of the show last Saturday night, 123 yards, and, you know, Dallas couldn't tackle him. I mean, you could, you know, I mean, I think he's on his third or fourth team now in a year. I would say this, the Rams blocked up Dallas's front better than anybody I saw him block him up all year. Now, they ran for 273 yards. Something had to happen, but they blocked as well as I've seen that team block all year. And he was a benefit of that, but he's also playing because he doesn't take any negative runs. He's decisive. He's hard to tackle. And, you know, for all the, and he's finding the hole as he comes downhill right now. So all those factors play into it.
You got two 40-year-old quarterbacks here in these championship games. Who retires first?
Well, I don't think any of them retire this year.
I don't
know
so
why
either.
They would. They're both playing at elite levels. And so there's no reason for either one of them to retire right now. I think Drew Brees just had a birthday yesterday. I think he just turned 40 yesterday.
That's
right. So Brady's 41. I don't think either one of them wants to go. In fact, it may be, you know, who blinks first. I mean, there might be like a little competition between the two of them. Who knows? I mean, sometimes quarterbacks compete for odd reasons, but maybe the one who's going to stay in there longest. I competed with my brother to see who could, you know, play the longest in the NFL. And, you know, we all believe that you play as long as you can and then two more years. And maybe that's what Brady and Brees are doing.
Hey, last thing, Baldy, before you came on, we were having a conversation because, you know, you do college games and you have an opinion about a lot of this stuff. You know, all these kids transferring now nowadays. You know, Ohio State's quarterback Tate Martell transfers to Miami last night. Jalen Hurts today transfers to Oklahoma. It's like
Ohio State's new quarterback.
Yeah, Ohio State's quarterback comes in from Georgia. Do you have a problem with any of this stuff? It just seems like anytime there's any adversity at all, these kids just jump ship and go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't like any of it. It's been going on in the Big 12 for a long time. I mean, that's how Baker, you know, moved on and, you know, from Texas Tech. And, I mean, a lot of different reasons. But you saw Kyler Murray move on. I mean, a lot of guys have moved. And so I've been watching it. And it's like they just don't want to compete. And it's just not the way it should be. Just because you get beat out 1 year doesn't mean you can't go and improve and come back and compete and win the job the next year. I have a problem with all of it because it goes against the grain of what it's all about. And then in addition, a lot of these guys can't stay healthy as it is. So sometimes these guys get hurt. You got to go in there, take over, and maybe you go in there and take over the second time. Maybe you play better and you keep the other guy on the bench. So it goes up, it goes against the grain of what competition is about. You just don't leave the gym because you got beat out on that day on the basketball court. Like, stay on there and go compete and go win the job. Get better. And I just think that's a problem in college football right now.
I said it the exact same way. You got to compete. Don't like it. Guys, just look for the next best thing. Grass isn't always greener. Not that much.
Baldy, we appreciate
it,
man.
Great stuff. Baldy. Really appreciate
it. My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Baldy.
Yeah, Brian Baldy.
Enjoy the games this weekend.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.